Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this April 12th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 3:30, we have the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau helping us focus on the Southwick County Historical Museum. We'll have Phil Brown with us. Looking forward to that. And we're going to continue talking some history to start things off. We have the Historic Point Boss with us. We're going to focus on their campfire cooking and some other great events going on with our friends over there. We have Mike Hittner with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, James.
Good afternoon.
Everybody in Radio Land.
Yeah. And we have Tom Bremmer with us. Tom, good to see you.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you both for being here so much and doing all the great work that you guys do and your team over at the Historic Point Boss. Before we get into future events, I want to rewind a little bit, talk about Sugar Bush with you and how that went.
Yeah, that was, James, March 16th, and had good weather. It was, I think, probably around 45 or something like that. And we had collected our maple sap beforehand just because it was such a early spring and so warm so early. So we collected, I think, the first week of February, and then we froze it and then you know, thawed it out and put it in for boiling down and everything. But had a great turnout, and people from Iowa and from different parts of Wisconsin. It was a real nice mixture of people that came out. Tom, you want to tell me your perspective from the cabin?
Mm. I thought it was really good. There was a lot of kids. Never enough, but yeah, always could have more, certainly, but it was a good flow. It took a little while to get started during the day. It was kind of gray and that, so but once we got rolling, there was people in there all day and sometimes quite a few.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah, it was good, and Tom says, you know, never enough kids. Well, we got our school groups coming up starting next Friday, and then through May, we got, I think, about 10 or 12 lined up so far, and it looks like a busy time, and he won't say that so much after next Friday that we need a few more kids.
Yep.
Right. You know, guys, when it comes to these events, we've been doing a lot of these events for many years. I'm sure that there are some regulars and people that you see at these events every year, but I one of the things I was talking to listeners about that they've experienced is seeing new people, even though that they might be a regular and they show up at a Sugar Bush event every year or something. They're always seeing new people at these events, and I think it's a credit to what you guys do over there and a credit to this community really loving their history and keeping it alive.
Well, it's James, it's one of the hidden mysteries of central Wisconsin, Historic Point Boss. Even people sometimes from Nakusa come over and, oh, we didn't know we were here. Well, we've been neighbors for 35 years or whatever it's been. But they could be newly to the community and that sort of thing. But Tom and I just gave a presentation Wednesday night up at the Rail Library up in Marshfield, and we were invited up there, and we had done some displays in their display cases a couple different times of some artifacts and different things, and we were invited up, and it was kind of refreshing because it was people, I think one of the parties that was in attendance had been to the site, the other people I don't think ever had, but one asked about one of the people that works in the cabin with Tom, Joe Greco, and they said, well, is Joe there or something like that, and of course, you know, Joe is there. So.
Before the thing started, that's the first thing he said when he came in, is he asked me, you know, we see him all the time.
Which is kind of nice, and he remembered the name, you know, which is unusual, you know. Yeah. Pierre Charette, well, you remember that name, but sort of thing. So, it was good.
Yeah. When it came to this year's event, a successful one was Sugar Bush, and looking forward to next year's.
Right.
We have the campfire cooking class that we're going to touch on here and everything, but got to let you guys know right away, this is booked. This thing is booked.
Yep.
One thing I want to note with that, you guys do this every year, and every year it seems to book up. So I wanted to remind people out there, get in on this early and sign up for this class early next year because it's a fun one.
We've moved it from fall to spring. It was up for last fall, and for a whole bunch of reasons, things just didn't work out right, so we didn't hold it. But this year, we started early and started promoting, and we said 15. Well, I know that there's more than that signed up now, so we've kind of done, well, even if we have somebody drop out, we're still going to be full.
Pretty much.
I mean, we can always take one. And you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice. We went to spring. We were a little crowded in the fall, you know, one thing after another.
Yeah.
And so for some of the people, it was like, well, we just got done with this. Now we got to prepare for this one. It was a little bit too much together, too close. And so We never really had anything in April, and so this was a good way to start out the spring right after Sugar Bush, go into this, and then, of course, our festival in June. So it was kind of a natural.
Yeah, it worked out really
It really does fit out timeline-wise. And it takes a little less off of you guys of not having to bunch everything up in a couple of months stretch.
And people like the idea, I think, of it's camping season coming up, so let's do cast iron cooking. Well, gee, I don't know how. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You can utilize this the whole summer camping season because you've learned it early in the season in April and carried forward through all your park visits and wherever you go camping. So.
Mm-hmm. And while you can't maybe take in this class this year, keep in mind next year we're going to have another class and other opportunities.
Year, right. Yep.
Especially now that we know the audience gets a little more familiar with the time of year it's going to be.
Right.
This class is always going to sell out. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's a fun idea too, and there's so many people around here, not only that love cooking, but like cooking in a unique way or cooking a different way or making some of the foods that we've made for many years, but just with something different.
Right.
Cast iron is a whole different animal. I learned that the hard way.
There's no knob on there.
No, you can't adjust it.
Well, and the interesting thing too, James, with the cast iron cooking is that this cooking, campfire cooking class is excellent because one of our members says he just signs up and goes to it every year, and he helps out at it just for the food because the food is such a, you know, gets fed every time you turn around. Yeah. So that's the great part of it.
It's a smart man. That's a smart person right there. It's a fun event, and we're looking forward to hearing how it went the next time you guys join us and everything.
When we got James 2 coming up early May, and we want to put this out to other troops and everything. We have a Boy Scout troop coming down and spending the weekend on our site, and they do a little service project and maybe work on a few badges, but they also camp out on our site. And for any scout troop or anything, that we don't ever charge anything for that. We like to work with the scouts, girls or Boy Scouts or explorers or whoever it is. So that group is coming in. I think it's either the Saratoga or Nakusa group.
Nakusa
troop that's coming in, and one of our members is involved with it and everything, and they just asked, and we just passed that right by. It's right after a couple of schools are there, but they don't come until Friday night, and this thing is going, the school groups are, of course, during the day on Friday.
If there are teachers or principals or anybody out there listening and they'd like their school or their class to be involved and check things out at the Historic Point Boss, is there still time to do that?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. And Tom has a wonderful segue for that, by the way.
Well, my wife and I were talking the other day. You know, we have to charge when the kids come because we have expenses.
Yeah.
We don't pay anybody to be there, but the lights and the gas and everything else need to go on.
Adds up.
And maintenance, good Lord. She said, you know, wouldn't it be neat if a grandparent or a civic person said, okay, I know Johnny in this class. I'll give that class a scholarship.
Oh, good
idea. To come down to the site, pay the fee. They'll have to do they could do transportation. I mean, transportation's got to be handled by the school district, so that's another whole deal. But just to, hey, you know, I'll sponsor that for my granddaughter's class.
Yeah.
And then come, you could come with them.
That's a,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
To bring along the sponsor, even if you go do it anonymously, you know.
Most teachers aren't going to shy away from having an extra adult around either.
No. And we just thought it would be really cool.
That's an awesome idea.
I wish I'd had an opportunity like that, you know, myself when my kids, my grandkids were small enough.
Yeah. You know, the interesting part about it is that we've had a little bit of resistance from some schools just because of this issue, because we charge for a whole day activity, basically from 9 till 2:30 or something like that, $7, which is about $1.25 an hour. But because of the cost of gasoline and diesel fuel and everything, the transportation, the busing is more expensive than what they get. They get charged for our site. And then a lot of groups sometimes want to go to Heritage Hill in Green Bay or Old World, Wisconsin or something. Well, the problem with that is you've got 4 hours plus on the bus and not many hours on the ground. And at Point Boss, if you're within, most groups that come are within an hour or so of Point Boss, they get almost all the time on the ground. Right. So they aren't sitting in a bus, because I think for a kid, a lot of these kids ride a bus anyway to school back and forth. Here, another another 2 hours or something they have to sit in the bus is gets kind of a little bit over.
That's such a strong point, Mike. Yeah. That is such a great point, I think, to make. And, you know, for kids in this area, this is more their, and not to say that
this
what
is
happens
our local
in
history.
Exactly. Yep. You know, nothing against what's going on in Green Bay. That's important history.
Oh, yeah.
Good to learn.
Oh, yeah.
But this is your history. This is your ancestors' history. Yep. And that there's a little more pride that comes from that.
We've had that problem, I think, James, and just in talking about history, in the sense that we think of Philadelphia or Boston or Washington or something like that, and we think all the history is there, but it was there, and then it came here, and then we made our own history here, and we don't neglect that history, but we want to also make an important point that we've got local history, and it's just as important, it's probably more important for our local people right here.
One of the things that stood out to me when I went out to California that I thought was really cool, and I never hear anybody talk about with Californians, is the way they incorporated so much of like the adobe buildings and a lot of that into, like, you go there now and there's like a bank in there. You know, they didn't tear the building down. They just put something different in there.
They reused it.
Yeah, and I really like that. And I found it made me a little homesick when I saw those things in California, because I think we're very good at that here in Wisconsin, in the Midwest. And the idea, the pride that you take in this, it's so different when you're able to learn more about your history, the soil that you've stepped on since you were a kid in that, and learning more about it. It's just a different animal. And it's a pretty unique opportunity to be able to have that.
Well, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and they brought up, and I realized it, though we don't think of it often, that the Spanish were here in the Southwest in the 1500s, way before the Pilgrims ever landed at Plymouth Rock. They were in here, and some of those old churches and missions down in Taos in Santa Fe, New Mexico, are from the 1500s. And it was settled, you know, a lot longer ago than we realize. And I think it's good just to realize that, you know, depending where you are, California was even settled, you know, the missions up and down the coast there, Father Serra, settled those missions and everything, and a lot of those areas were settled long before we think of the East or the Midwest or anything like that.
It's interesting. It's fascinating. Yes. American history is so awesome. Yeah. I love it. We're speaking with Mike Hittner and Tom Bremer from the Historic Point Boss. And guys, I'm just showing them something to our audio audience.
I was
going to
ask you about that.
My oldest daughter, Bria, she got into like felting and knitting and stuff. Yeah. She's been doing it. She's so creative and does a lot of great stuff like that. I saw this, and then I saw your guys' felting class coming up. And I wanted to talk about that. And I know Bria is probably going to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be seeing one of my kids warn you about that. No, she's a good one. She's good. But this wool needle felting class coming up, can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Let me say it this way. Michael, do you know anything about that?
Well,
because I do not.
A lady from Portage, Wisconsin, who's been into wool and all kinds of aspects of wool, is going to lead that felting class. And I believe it's at the Nakusa Library.
Yeah. Joanne Lister Public Library.
Yeah. And I think it's for, 14 and up or something like that. And
12 and up.
12 and up. And I think it's a good time to learn this. My granddaughters know a little felting, but they use kind of plastic needles and stuff just because of their 4 and 7 years old. And this is going to be using actual needles. And felting is very utilitarian. You know, I've had some sweaters at home that had a little moth hole or something. Yeah. Well, you get a contrast or color that coordinates with it, and you felt that little hole, and you can wear that sweater. It's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't look quite perfect, but then again, best to use things as long as we can.
Well, and you guys know this even better than I do. What was once old is now new, and what's new is old. Yep. And the younger generation, the big thing for them is not new designer clothes. It's going to like a
secondhand shops.
Yeah, and repurposing things and stuff. Yeah. And learning how to do this is repurposing. Yeah. I mean, it's right up the alley of where they're going with their fashion and a lot of that. So
I think this felting class should be real popular, and the price, I think it was like $15 or something.
Yeah.
It was very reasonable, the cost of it. And she brings all the materials for you there to use and everything like that. So
$15 to have a lifetime skill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good investment there. That's pretty good. Yeah. Check out the wool needle felting class coming up Saturday, May 11th, 9 to 12. It's, again, $15, as Mike said. If you're 12 or older, you can take in the class, and it'll be taking place at the Charles and Joanne Lester Public Library. Library at 100 Park Street in beautiful Nakusa. We say good morning to all of our friends at the Joanne and Lester Public Library. Love our friends over there.
Wonderful.
You guys have a blacksmith class coming up Friday, June 7th. Let's touch on that a little bit.
Ages 16 and over, there's only, I think, room for three in the class.
Yes. If they had more sign up, they would probably open a Thursday on the sixth class to take in. Because you got to kind of have hands-on, but you can only handle so much hands-on with blacksmithing, with the pounding of the metal. It's a small shop.
Yeah, a small shop.
Yeah, yeah. But John Berg is going to do that, who's a very accomplished blacksmith and has
teacher.
Been a teacher in the in the district here for years.
He has skill in both sides of that.
Yeah. It's a fun class and one of those ones that I know a lot of people are excited about. They enjoy taking, but it is a limited amount of people.
First come, first serve.
Keep
16
that in mind.
And older.
Yes, and at 16 and older, there's a number of different things that you want to keep in mind with a class like that. There's a great list on the Historic Point Boss website if you'd like to check that out. HistoricPointBoss.com, and we'll give that website again before we wrap up. But these classes, these workshops, if you will, are so much fun. They incorporate the wonderful way of tying history into the modern times and a lot of that. As these things go on, I know that you guys would like to do more and include more, and we can help you do that by volunteering. And I want to make sure to mention that too, and remind everybody out there that while you guys are great at this and wonderful at what you do, we want to make sure that we can keep this going for the next 100 years, and we can only do that with more people being involved in it.
More volunteers, and the volunteers get involved because they come down to the site and they visit. They like what we do, or they come to one of these classes that we're talking about, whether felting or blacksmithing or the sheep to shawl one that's coming up in June. This sort of thing, which we don't have time to do when you're at the site when we have a regular day, this time you can get really into it and get down to the basic brass tacks of whatever we're doing. So I think it's a good opportunity to take it one step further for these people.
Yeah. There's, every season there is something going on over at the Historic Point Boss. So we've covered a lot today. There's even more going on over there, and even more to
do. They're going to have a foraging class in the fall. I don't know if there's a date set.
One of our members, Ann Rosner, has done foraging in the past and has talked about it at different times at the festival or the fall harvest fair. Yeah. And she's going to do one in the fall. Before, when the cooking campfire cooking class was in the fall, she did it in conjunction with that. But now we're going to do it as a separate entity.
Standalone.
Yeah. So another thing that has been going on for a handful of years now, and has been very, not just trendy, it's a thing now. It's not just a fad. People love being able to do that. I've got a couple of friends of ours from Extension, Rachel White here, and a couple of other people that I've talked to over the years. They are so into this, and there's so much of it you can do right in this area. I mean, right off Highway 54, there's spots that you can do where fine foraging and that. Yeah. And it's just important to really know what you're looking for and what you're doing out there.
Identification.
Yeah, that goes a long way. You don't want to be a city boy like me out there trying to look for stuff. This foraging class is going to be very helpful when it comes to that. That's smart. That's really smart. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we let you go today?
I would think our signal or our biggest event, the Pioneer Festival, is June 8th and 9th this year, and that's where we have about 20, 25 campers doing different arts and skills, period skills. And that's a good opportunity. We're going to have some Civil War involvement this year, Civil War soldiers, and some cannons for letting the neighbors know down there in the Coosa, town of Saratoga area. We've talked to the Sheriff's Department already and the Coosa Police Department, and we told them we're going to do probably set one off on the hour or something like that, and they said it was okay, but we just thought
it was smart to let everybody know that
this thunderstorm isn't coming in or whatever
it's not a big cannon,
but what cool history to be able to take in, and how many times can you say in your life you saw a cannon, you know, an old school like cannon from the Civil War era go off. I think especially in these day and ages, learning more and more about the Civil War and learning more about those things is very important and on a number of different fronts. And it's just interesting and exciting. It's fun to hear about this
James,
stuff.
I shouldn't probably say it, but if we don't learn from the Civil War, we're going to head for it again in this country, yeah, not true. Too far off the way it's going.
No. You said exactly what was in my head, Mike. And it's fun too, and I don't want that to get lost in it. This history is exciting. It's fun. You feel something. I can't walk on the land out there. I go to the Spirit Walk almost every year. I love taking that in. I can't go there, no matter how many times I go there, and not get goosebumps. Like, I just feel the history. I feel that out there.
Well, especially during Spirit Walk.
We were talking the other day with a group in Marshfield, and we, you know, we were talking about stuff, and I says, just remember, I says, you know, Mary lost a child in the river and then watched that river flow by for 50 years. After that.
Yeah.
I mean, and the body was never recovered.
They never recovered. You know, it's one of these things where tragedies happen in every family, but when you that makes it, you stand there in that house and think about that old woman living there and doing that, you got to have a good empathy with them, with those people. I mean, you know.
It gives you some appreciation of today.
I think
we can all use a little of that.
Sure.
There's that, and there's, of course, great volunteer opportunities and great ways to help keep history alive over at the Historic Point Boss. If you want to find out more, I encourage you to check out the website, historicpointboss.com. That is historicpointboss.com, all one word. You can also give them a call at 715-459-1722, 459-1722, and email them, historicpointboss@gmail.com, historicpointboss@gmail.com. Mike, Tom, love talking to you guys. Thank you so much for all you do for our community and hanging out with me for a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, James, thank you. WFHR.
Appreciate you guys. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.